We've come here to hear the Word of God, and our brother has graciously volunteered to take the place of another brother who is, Brother Jim was involved in an accident, so he's up in Prescott. He's not feeling too well. He's got some sore muscles, so he decided not to come down. So, our brother here has volunteered to take a spot. He called me last night to take a spot, and I said, well, I'm already preaching tomorrow, so I could be a day of Aaron where I take Sunday school morning and evening, but I don't want to spare you all that. So I know he's not feeling the best, he said this morning, so if you could offer up some prayers for our brother, that he'll be able to give to us this day what we need to hear. So give you our brother, Pastor Andy Brown.
Thank you, Aaron. It seems like this crud that everybody keeps sharing with everybody else just keeps on being handed off to everybody. One of the guys at work wasn't feeling well last week, and now I think I have whatever he had. And I feel basically like someone just took a stick and beat on me. But besides that, we're good. I've had a lot of thoughts as of late. Is there anything on that screen? Okay, just checking. I've had a lot of thoughts as of late. For those of you that are live streaming or may see this in the future, you're going to recognize pretty quickly that as a pastor, I'm pretty much talking to this congregation. Hopefully there's something in it that everybody can get something out of. As you know, last year, at the beginning of the year, I'm a guy who likes to set some goals. And it doesn't mean we always meet those goals, but it's nice to have something that we're headed towards. Because I find if we're not headed towards anything in particular, that's exactly where we get. Nowhere in particular, you know. And for me in my life, most of you know, I run construction sites, and we're very schedule driven. Oftentimes we're doing a project of around $1 million or so, and we have a particular number of days to get that accomplished. And the way we accomplish that is by setting a schedule and trying to reach it. We don't always make that. And Jared's laughing at me because at St. Joe's we very rarely make our schedule, but we have a schedule at least, so we have something to head towards. And I'm not putting us on a schedule here by any means, but I do want us to at least have a few goals. And I wrote these down a month and a half ago, and didn't know when I'd have an opportunity to share them with you. Well, I got an opportunity. And so with that, I'd like to begin. And again, I don't think it does us a lot of good to have 20 goals, because that's too much. I have a hard time remembering any more than three. I may have a hard time remembering three, but I write them down. So the first one is for each one of us to discover and utilize the talents for the Lord, or the talents that we have for the Lord's the work of the gospel. So what does that mean? As I looked up the word talent in the scriptures, it has a very particular meaning. Let me see if I'm looking for someone to pick on here. Brian, if you don't mind, what is a talent typically in the scriptures?
Money.
Money is money. It's talents of silver and talents of gold. And yet in our society today, what do we normally think of talents? Singing, speaking, drawing. You know, it's a personal talent that we have, not a talent. But I find it interesting that in the... I'm going to jump over the other two for just a second. And in the scripture, in Matthew, in the 25th chapter, the parable of the talents. And we find this... Is that hard to see up there? Yeah, I was afraid of that. I changed the background a couple times. I'm having a hard time seeing it here, so I... I don't know if I had some way of lightening or darkening it here. It says, for the kingdom of heaven... As a man traveling to a far country who called these words, I don't know if they show up there as kind of highlighted. They're almost disappeared on mine. far country who had called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Most of us are probably fairly familiar with this parable, and it says, unto one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one, to each man according as his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. As we read through these next few verses, I can see real quickly that even though he's talking about money, the lesson or the parable here is, what are we doing with the things that the Lord has given us? And not necessarily money. Could be money, but not necessarily money. And it says in the 25th chapter there in the 16th verse, and it says, and he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received the one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And of course, hopefully all of us are recognizing the story unfold here. And that is the Lord, Jesus Christ, has given each one of us talents. Okay? Maybe money, but I really think that we're looking at something different for you and I, each one, and different talents to each one of us. And as my goals there is that to help us discover and utilize those talents for the Lord's work. Okay? I do think some of us probably have a gift or a talent of making money. Okay, I always told my boys when they were growing up, you know, on a Saturday morning I could leave the house and 4 or 5 hours later I come back with a couple $100 in my pocket. Okay, just because I don't have a problem going out and finding a couple $100. And it's not that I'm looking on the sidewalk, is I'm going to knock on someone's door and say, hey, you want that palm tree trimmed? This was when I was younger. And not now, I'm not climbing palm trees now. But, you know, I have some way, because of what I was taught as a child, that I could make money, okay? But that's not really what he's talking about here, is it? He's talking about our abilities, and are we doing something with them? Brother Stephen, who's not here to defend himself, he and I had a discussion the other day along these same lines. And he and I are think similar in this discussion. And that is that, you know, I feel like that the Lord's put it upon us to do what these servants did, the good and wise servant did. He took those talents and he increased them. He took the Lord's money and he increased them. Some of you have an ability to study, to get a good education. You know, I really struggled in school, and I struggled when I went to college, and finally after a year or two of college realized I was wasting my time and my money. It just wasn't happening, you know. It just is very, very difficult for me. Of course, I've learned a ton since then, but for whatever reason, just struggled with that. And some of you have the ability to play the guitar. But if you pick up the guitar and you play it a time or two, and you never get lessons, you never fiddle with it long enough to really learn how to play it, then are you increasing the talents the Lord's given you? You know, some of you may have a real gift or ability to be sympathetic or empathetic. But if you're not using that talent and increasing that talent, then are you doing what the Lord has asked us to do? So as we think about how we can serve one another, which is another one of my goals, to me, this plays right into it. You know, I keep looking back here at Brother Brian because I'm not used to seeing him sat back there. He's usually gone, isn't he? Okay. The Lord has given him talents and given him an ability to travel, in very difficult places in the world and giving him responsibility to minister to people in those areas, and that's what he's doing. Okay, so we're not used to seeing him here a lot. Same way with our brother Dwayne. Okay, that's they're increasing the gifts and talents that the Lord has given them. You know, and we find oftentimes, and I find in the struggles that we have, and sometimes difficulties and different ones was given, I've heard testimonies of different ones, find themselves someplace, and it's like, oh gee, what do I do now? You know, and I remember the first time the only time I ever went to Honduras, and our brother John was going to pick us up at the airport, and we get to the airport, and of course, I've never been there before, and no John, you know. Hang out for a while, and no John. And Brother Jay looks at me and says, what would you do if I wasn't here? I said, I'd go find a bus station, and get on the bus, and go to Don Lee. And then I would find a taxi cab, and I would tell him, hey, there's a white guy that lives here in these hills somewhere. Probably the only one, and he is. Okay, do you know where he is? You know, and he said, okay, let's do it. And that's exactly what we did. Okay, but at some point, we have to have just a little bit of confidence and the Lord's blessing in our ability to do things. Okay? I look at my own life, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but with my education, with my reading problems I've had over throughout the course of my life, there should be no way that I can do the job I do to earn my living, okay, to make money. But because we work hard, the Lord blesses us. Okay, these things don't come without work. So we take a talent that the Lord has given us. That's His part. He gave it to us. These guys here, the one guy went and buried it in the dirt, didn't he? When he dug it up, was there tin there? No, we haven't read that part yet, but we can read it. No, there wasn't. There was one. It says in the 20th verse, and it says, so that he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And the Lord said what? His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay, that's the message I want to hear when I stand before the Lord. Okay? Whether I make a lot of money or no money in this life really isn't that important. Okay? These guys were talking about money, but that's not really what we're talking about today, is it? It's talking about that when we stand before the Lord and He says, I gave you the ability to sing, but I never heard you sing in church. You know, or I gave you the ability to talk and to preach the gospel, but you were too busy hanging out in the woods. Are we using the talents the Lord has given us? In the 21st version, it says, and the Lord said unto him, thou well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also, that received two talents, came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I gain two others beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So that's what we want to hear the day we stand before the Lord. Is that, you know, I've given you these talents, whatever they are. Whether to bake a cake, figure out some way you can serve the Lord by baking a cake. You know, increase that ability. Increase the value you have to the Lord's kingdom. And then in the 24th verse it says, and then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, and this is, I find this so interesting. It says, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, here, this is one I have, I've given it back to you. But I find it, not that I'm comparing Christ to this man that was a hard man, but isn't that some of our excuse sometimes? I was afraid. You know, I was afraid to really step out and use the talents that the Lord has given me to serve Him. Because, you know, someone else can do it, right? There's somebody else that can sing, or somebody else that can do whatever needs to be done. And I'm not necessarily just talking about things we do here in this building. Each one of us have a whole connection of people out there that we work with, we go to school with, people that we associate with, maybe we go do things with, you know. Are we figuring out some way to use the Lord's talents that He has given us to serve those people, to help those people, to see? You know, a few years ago, really, the Lord brought to my mind over and over again when it come to passing the gospel on to my sons, to the next generation. They have to see value. What is there? We live in such an easy land. We live in such an easy place. We all have houses and food, and if we don't, there's someplace we can go get one or go get food. We all, not that all our lives are perfect, I'm not saying that. But compared to how most of the world lives, you know, in the wet and the cold and the mud and not knowing what you're going to eat tomorrow, and carrying carrying your one pair of shoes because you don't want to wear them out until you get to where you're going. That's how most of the world lives. So we live in such a blessed state that sometimes I think we're just complacent. We just get so complacent. It's so easy. Everything in our life is so easy. And not that some, you know, I know I can look around. A lot of us get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we work until 6, 7 o'clock at night. I'm not saying easy in that way, but really, we live in a blessed place. And oftentimes we find ourselves not really seeking ways to serve the Lord, ways to serve those people around us. Most of you know I'm losing my job here in a couple months, and that's kind of become a big, not a struggle, but just a hassle to go out and find another job, you know, and talk to people. But I also look at it as an opportunity. Because in one day, I'm going to be surrounded with a whole new group of people. A whole new group of people that don't know me, you know. And so am I going to be able to somehow talk to them, somehow be able to relate to them the value of serving the Lord? 26th verse, it says, "The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I have not strawn." And for if there's anybody that doesn't know what that little phrase means, sow as in seeds. In other words, he harvests a field that he didn't plant, and he gains where he didn't put straw in to nurture it. You know that he's a shrewd businessman, it sounds like. "And thou ought to have therefore to have put my money to the exchange, that when at my coming I should have received mine with usury." In other words, with interest. That word usury. "Take therefore the talent from him and give unto him which hath 10. And for unto every one that hath shall be given, and to he that hath abundant shall have abundantly, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." And I know that's kind of a different way of speaking than we talk today, but really what it's saying is that if you don't use it, you may lose it. In other words, the Lord has given us all talents. The Lord's given us abilities is really what maybe that word ability should be what we're talking about instead of the word talent. But He's given us all abilities, and if we don't use them for His kingdom, then we're not developing them. We're not able to continue to grow in that. And it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, so whenever we hear that verse of Scripture, we realize that this entire thing is talking about something that's spiritual. Okay, it's not really talking about money. And the day that we stand before the Lord, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm going to back up for just a second. And so our talents that the Lord has given us this year, 2018, which 1/12 of, a little over 1/12, almost 2/12 is almost gone. Okay, we're the 18th day of February, and just a few days, February is going to be gone. And, you know, 2/12 of this year has disappeared already. And, you know, I'm just now getting around to having this discussion with you about our goals. And then the second one I put is to clarify and help each one of us to explain what we believe and why we believe it. And that's a little more in depth, isn't it? Not something I can really necessarily cover here, besides the fact that I want us to be thinking about this. It's easy to come and listen to the preacher. You know, I'm typically responsible for scheduling the preachers. I like to schedule somebody else. I don't like scheduling myself, because it's easy for me to sit back there and listen to somebody else speak, you know. But I want us to be thinking this year on a daily basis to get into the Word of God. And there's a lot of neat little programs out there. You can get a scripture on your cell phone, can't you? You know, a little read through the entire Bible in a year. Just read this many scriptures every day on your cell phone, you know, on your iPad. You can buy all kinds of books that say, you know, you read so many verses a day, you'll read through the entire Bible in a year. But I'd like us to encourage us to maybe do a little more than that, and that is take subjects. Takes things perhaps we believe in that maybe not all of Christianity believes in, you know. Baptism. You know, we've seen the ordinance over here this morning of laying on of hands and administration, you know. Why do we believe that? Can we support that scripturally? Can you go to your scriptures right now and look up the scriptures and support that belief? Can you explain to someone else out there why you believe that? What it is we believe and why we believe it. And then the next verse of scripture, our next goal I had for us was to encourage each of us to find ways to be of more service. And, you know, talking about the talents, obviously that's one of those ways. But to be of more service to each other and to the Lord. And I do have a couple more scriptures I wanted to read along those lines. This one right here. That's no good. I should have had a black background. Yeah, blue writing and blue. I thought I changed that to black. Oh, it is black. No, I changed the next one to black. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of His prisoner." I've mentioned this in the past, whenever the Apostle Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. So he's saying, don't be ashamed of the Lord, nor of him, the Apostle Paul, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with, I can't already read it either, so clear, and called us with a calling not according to our works, but according to His own pleasure and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So here, I'm going to read a few more verses there, but before I do, I want to say a couple things. When it comes to being of good service to other people, when it comes to increasing our service, when it comes to being able to explain what we believe and why we believe it, first of all, we can't be ashamed. You know, we can't be ashamed. I'm a Christian. Okay, we can't be ashamed of that fact. We can't be ashamed of the fact that I'm going to stand with a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But with that, and as Apostle Paul says here, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel? Anybody help me out on that? Just so I know somebody's listening. Yeah, uncomfortable, embarrassing, maybe ridicule. We know some of our brothers in foreign lands, it gets even worse than that, doesn't it? You know, it becomes imprisonment or straight up harassment or endangerment of them personally and their families. For you and I though, sometimes it's almost harder under emotional threat than physical threat. And I shouldn't say that because I don't really know the physical threat part of it, but you know that we're not fitting in. We're the odd man out. You know, are we willing to be able to partake of the afflictions of the gospel for our testimony of the Lord? Let's read there in the 11th verse, and it says, Wherefore unto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. It's obviously the Apostle Paul speaking. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. And I love that verse of Scripture, and of course, there's a song that has that verse in it. But is that in our heart? Is that what we're thinking in our mind? I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed because I know that He's able. I know that He's able to keep that which I have committed. See, I changed that one to a black. So hopefully you can see that a little better. And the book of Mosiah, chapter 1, verse 47, starting in verse 47, it says, yea, my brethren, I have, and this is again King Benjamin speaking near the end of his life, and it says, yea, my brother, I have not done these things that I might boast. And he was kind of giving a final farewell talk to his people. Neither do I tell you these things that whereby I might accuse you, but I tell you these things that ye may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I have said unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I only have been in the service of God. And this was a king of this entire land speaking. It says, and behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow being, ye are in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then how ye ought to labor to serve one another. And I really like this verse of Scripture that says, you know, when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're in the service of God. So if we want to increase our service this year, how do we do that? Jared? How do we increase our service?
Start doing young people.
That's right. That's right. By serving others, you know. You know, Jared took on the intermediate young peoples and we'll see. So far doing an awesome job. But it's an increased commitment, isn't it? It's an increased commitment. You got to show up on Saturday afternoon or whatever with the appropriate stuff and not do what you normally do on Saturday afternoon, you know. It's an increased commitment. And I think that's what we're looking at when I say as the pastor, you know, I want us to increase our service this year. we're really saying we want to increase our commitment to each other, to the church, to those around us out there in the world that we endeavor to serve. And we have to think of it that way. It just doesn't happen. You know, I think I mentioned in the past, I teach a class at camp called Goals. We set goals, and we talk about to the kids, depending on what age they are, setting, you know, short-term goals, kind of mid-term goals, and then long-term goals. And it's kind of fun for them to say, oh, you know, when you're 12 years old, oh, I'm going to get married and have a big house on a hill and a sports car and a driveway, you know. But the whole reason I do that is because if you don't have a goal, then it's just a thought. And the phrase I've used with them over the years is that the difference between a dream and a goal is a goal has a plan to get to it. Okay, if I walk into my office downtown here and they hand me a big roll of blueprints and say, here, go out and build this building, and I say, well, I have a vision of what the building's going to look like. You just keep the drawing, so I'll go work on it. Chances are that's not going to really get me very far, is it? I need a detailed roadmap on how to build this building, what it looks like, how many rooms are in it, how many stories it is, what the outside looks like. Some architect somewhere has put a lot of time and energy into drawings and making it look paint colors and whatever. Okay, so I find the same way with you and I spiritually. I got all kinds of goals spiritually, but I'm afraid some of them are just dreams because I have not made a plan to get to them. I have not made a plan to get to greater service. I have not made a plan to increase my knowledge of the Word of God. So do we have dreams or do we have goals? Are these goals that I've set, not necessarily you've set for yourself? You know, Jared, in at least some way in his life, has a plan to get to a little greater service. He has a commitment at 7 o'clock on Saturday night or, you know, once a month, twice a month, to be with the young people and be prepared, okay? So that dream of being a greater service just turned into a goal because we're going to get it done. We're going to have a plan, you know. And no different than myself, when I walk out of my office, I'm carrying a blueprint, I'm carrying a big spec book. Well, the Lord's given us a spec book. It's right here in front of us. You know, and it has a specifications on how we should live and what we should do. Greater service. Well, I was afraid this sermon was going to be really short. I stole this slide out of a talk I gave up in Grand Junction a month or so ago, so some of you were there might recognize it. I don't think I'm going to go through the whole part of it, but I want to talk a little bit about it because it goes along with what we've been talking about. Think about how and why you think the way you do. And maybe this is just me. Maybe this is my strange way of thinking of myself and others. But we're all influenced by how we were raised, where we work, who we spend time with. You know, isn't it funny sometimes you see people after they've been married for like 30 years, you know, they start almost acting like each other, you know. They've been influenced by each other all those years, you know. I'm guessing my wife would like to see me act a little more like her, but but I think she's getting there. I'm learning. But why do we think the way we do? And the whole reason I want to ask that question is it's a point of reference. I can't think of the word. It's where we draw our ability to reason from. And let me just tell you why. Okay, because what I think may not be what the Lord thinks. I can almost guarantee it's not what the Lord thinks. You know, how I think, if I was raised in a different country, spoke a different language, I would look at the world differently than I look at it now. But, And again, this is going right back to my goals, is that we may look at ourselves. I may get up in the mirror in the morning and look at myself and say, you know what? You're a pretty good Christian. You're a good guy. And you know what? You're just serving the Lord. And meanwhile, the Lord may be looking at me and saying, you're lazy. You're that unprofitable servant. Do you see what I'm saying? Our point of reference has to be, somehow we have to transform how we think of ourselves and why we think the way we do to how the Lord thinks and how the Lord, what's the expectation that the Lord gives us? Because we might think of ourselves, oh, I'm doing fine. Life is good. I'm doing great. But yet the Lord is calling us to a higher ground. He's calling us to greater service. And the problem we all have as humans, or at least I do, being the critical person that I am, I always like to look at the neighbor, you know. And in this case, both my neighbors are members of the church, so I can look over the fence at Joel's house, or I can look over the fence at Adam's house and say, well, you know, I'm doing more than him, right? Or I'm not doing more than him. But you know what I'm saying? It's easy for us to look at our neighbor or the guy down the street and say, well, I'm better than he is. Not necessarily pat myself on the back better than he is, but I don't know. It's our point of reference. And my point being is that's not what the Lord wants us to do, obviously. He wants us to look at His Word, His expectation, and what He's doing. And I think in the words of the Apostle Paul, oftentimes we can see how Paul gave more and then gave more, and the expectation throughout his life rose and rose and rose until he was totally consumed by the work of the gospel. He was totally consumed. His life rotated around his service to the Lord. And you know, I know some of us that have traveled to other countries, and sometimes we get the expectation, or we look at our brothers and sisters there, and you know, they're in church almost every day. They have a birthday party for their kid, it's a church. You know, a wedding anniversary, it's a church. And it's not just at church, a party in the back, it's a church service, you know. And they've raised that bar a little higher. No, it's not everywhere, but, and I'm not saying that that's what we should be doing. I'm just saying we have to be able to look outside of ourselves, exactly how we was raised, what we do, what the neighbor does, and say, okay, forget all that. What is the expectation that the Lord has put upon us? That's what I want to meet. That's when we walk into that, stand before the Lord, and He says, enter in, thou good and faithful service. That's going to be based on not what you thought your good service was. That's going to be based on what His expectation is. Yes, that's my wife sneezing. It's funny, people recognize her sneeze all over the place. So we want to base our goal setting, I guess, base our plan on what, not necessarily what I say or what I want to do, but what is the Lord's expectation for us? And I'm guessing that if we truly, truly seek that, it's much higher than any of us anticipate. Much higher than what we're thinking. Because we as humans kind of are lazy, or we're complacent, you know, but I believe the Lord is continuing to call us up higher, to make a greater sacrifice of our time, our money, of our talents that He's given us, the strength that He's given us, the physical strength that He's given us, that He wants us to apply all those things to His work and to His benefit. And I'm going to leave that, like I said, I have, I don't know, another 6 or 7 slides there, but I don't want to even start down that path. I'm going to leave that with you. And I want you to think about these goals that we've laid out today. Not necessarily that those have to be your goals for this year spiritually, but set some spiritual goals. Whether that's just to pray 3 times a day. Whether that's to open the Word of God every day. Set some spiritual goals. You know, and set some goals to serve others around you. Because when we're in a service of our fellow being, we're in a service of our God. Thank you.